I want to talk today about the subject, which Enoch are you? You say, well, I don't think I'm either one. Well, you are. We all are. And I hope we're the right one. And the right one is the second one. We're going to be looking at that. So on page 6 in your Bible, actually in the Old Testament, most of you now, if you read through some Bible reading plan, you've long ago read the book of Genesis, and you're probably elsewhere in the Bible, but back in the book of Genesis, we read about the first Enoch. And let me show you that just so you'll not think I just dreamed something up. But if you look back in chapter 4, I know our text said chapter 5, we'll be there, but chapter 4, just for time's sake, let me read, beginning with verse 16. The Bible says, now you know the story of Cain and Abel. The Bible says in verse 16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. Now here he is. This is Enoch number one. And then it says, and he, that is Cain, and Cain built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now we'll be back to that in just a moment. Now, if you look over in chapter number 5, let me begin reading with in verse 18, chapter 5, verse 18, we read about the second Enoch. It's in the very next chapter. It says, Jared lived 162 years, and he begot, that means he became the father of Enoch. Boy, he was an old daddy, was he not? I was thinking about that today, 162 years old, and he has a kid. Well, anyway, this little boy's name is Enoch. He's Enoch number two. And after he had become the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. And so all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And then verse 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years, and of course he became the father of Methuselah. And then in verse 22, it says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And verse 24 says, for the second time, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now we'll look in Hebrews just a moment and see what that's talking about. But anyway, we have here these two Enochs. We'll call him Enoch number one back in chapter 4, son of Cain. And then over in chapter 5, we have Enoch number 2, the son of Jared. He's the one that walked with God, and he was the one that, of course, went to heaven without ever dying, one of the two men to ever do that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, you know, as I look back at this, it's very interesting. In fact, if you will, maybe you'll go over in the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Turn over to page 1069. Let's just go ahead and do this because it's a very interesting thing on page 1069 in your Bible will be Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when I say Hebrews chapter 11, that's that great chapter. We call it the honor roll of faith, where in one chapter in the New Testament, it just talks about all these great people of faith. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, you look down in verse number 5, and you find this Enoch number 2 listed. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. That is, he went to heaven without ever dying. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Now look at his testimony. That he pleased God. That is quite a testimony. Now, you know, as I look about that and think about, well, we have Enoch 1, we have Enoch 2, and then you come over in Hebrews chapter 11 and read about this honor roll of faith where all these people of faith are listed. The question comes, like, why did God in Hebrews chapter 11, why did the Holy Spirit bypass, skip over, leave off the list Enoch number one? You know, you go back in Genesis chapter number 4, his daddy thought a lot about him. In fact, if you can remember, I just read it. It said he named him Enoch, and then he built this city, and he named the city after his son. That's Enoch number one. That's one Enoch. Now, that's not the Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I thought about that. Like the contemporaries of his day would have thought this guy was some guy. I mean, he had a city named after him. I was thinking today, this morning, like in the United States, we have a city named after somebody. Our first president, George Washington. So we have Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, Maryland, Virginia, that district. But it's named in honor of our first president. And but off the top of my head, I don't think we have another city named after somebody. We probably do, and I just don't know, or I can't remember at the moment. But to think about having a city named after you, like, do you have any city anywhere named after you? No, I don't either. But if a person was so popular, at least in such a public way as this Enoch number one, that his daddy, of course, he was prejudiced, but he named the city after his son. I would just imagine that the people in that day, when they saw Enoch number one walking around, would say, well, look what, look at this guy. I mean, this guy's, the whole city is named after this guy. Well, but you come over to Hebrews chapter 11, and this is not the guy mentioned. It's Enoch number two. Now, the question is, why is that so? Well, first of all, let's go back to Genesis, if you will. Go back to page 6, and we'll just kind of work there a moment. You know, this second Enoch, Jared's son, it's interesting. I think he's the one that we want to be like, because as we look back at our scripture in chapter 5, verses 18 through 24, it's very interesting. In verse 22, we have the little phrase, Enoch walked with God. And then if you look down in verse 24, we have the very same phrase a second time, Enoch walked with God. And I think that is one of the things, as I read this little record here, I think, now, you know, here's the Enoch that we all really want to be like, should want to be like. Now, what do you mean he walked with God? Well, walking implies progress. Like when you go out and walk. Now, if you're walking on a treadmill, you don't make much progress. But this morning, I go out about 5:30 most every morning, sometimes a little earlier, but seldom later. But as I'm out there about 5:30 this morning, and Dottie was out walking with me, and we walk. This morning we walked for 40 minutes. We walked up and down our street for 40 minutes. Well, we are making some progress. We're not getting off the street. We are making progress. But when we're walking, we're not standing still. And when you're walking, you don't walk and stop and stand there, and then after a while walk again. Walking is a present tense thing where you just keep doing it until it's time to stop. Now, that's true physically, but that's very true spiritually. He's talking here not about his physical walk. He says Enoch walked with God 300 years. And then in verse 24, Enoch walked with God. In other words, he was making progress. He walked with God. It's an interesting thing. There's only one other person in the Bible that it said that they walked with God. And that's in chapter 6, verse 9. If you want to look at the verse, that person's name is Noah. Only Enoch and Noah, the Bible says, walked with God. Now, I'm sure others walked with God, but the Bible records these two walking with God. In chapter 6, verse 9, says this is genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect, that means complete, in his generations. Noah walked with God. In other words, he made progress with God. You know, if we're walking with God, I guess one way to say that or think of it, we have to be weaned from this world in which we live. Like, if you're not weaned from much of the world where you and I live, we're not going to be walking with God. And the majority of people, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, I fear even Christian people have not very well weaned themselves from the standards of this world. We live in a just an unbelievable time almost when it comes to looking at the Bible, how we're supposed to live, and look what's going on. I mean, who in your wildest imagination, most of us in this room are over 21, I've looked around. And 31 and 41 and whatever. Can you imagine? Men marrying men, women marrying women, all these things we see going on. And, you know, and our little grandchildren are going to grow up and never know the difference unless they're taught by their families and hopefully by their church. And many of them won't even be taught by their church because many of the churches believe, well, you know, this is okay today. You know, well, it may be okay by their way, but it's not okay by God's way. And I just mentioned one little thing. It's just an endless thing. And we just need to understand if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to wean ourselves away from the standards of this world and walk by the standards in God's Word. And so, you know, that's what old Enoch number two did. It's a wonderful thing. Now, it's a good thought as I was thinking about that this morning even. I thought to myself, now how long have I been walking with God? Well, by the calendar, 69 and a half years. I placed my faith and trust as best I understood. I gave all of me that I understood to all of Jesus that I understood, which is about all you do whatever age you become a believer. You know, you never will. We will never understand it all. But as a seven-year-old boy, maybe seven and a half, long in there, I placed my faith and trust in Jesus. Now, I know I don't appear to be, but I am 76 and a half almost, okay? You say you're going to have a half birthday? No. And if I can get around it, I'm not going to have a whole birthday either. We just soon forget the whole subject. But I was thinking this morning, I've been a believer for 69 and a half years. So I said, well, how long have I walked with God? Well, I've been a believer 69 and a half years. I'm not sure all that's been prior. How long have you been walking with God? Like, think back when you became a believer. You may not know the day and the date and hour. I don't know the day, date, and hour. I know the time. I remember the experience. But you know, ballpark-wise, when you became a believer, maybe later on in life you settled that. Well, however long you've been a believer or had that settled, from that moment to this moment, like, how long have you been walking with God? And the question to ask, you know, you may not can pinpoint that exact, but have you made progress? But even the better question, are you making progress? Or have oftentimes you walked and then stopped and stood still and walked and stopped and stood still? You see, this is what we want to guard against. Walking is a daily thing that we just should be, and as we walk with God daily and keep at it, not stopping, taking standstill and all that kind of stuff, what we do, we become nearer to God. We do. And I would hope I'm nearer to God today than I was 69 and a half years ago. And I hope you as well. So another good thing about that little thought is, you know, Enoch walked with God. As we journey through life, we go through a lot of things. Remember this. When you're walking with God, you don't walk through things by yourself. You have God walking with you through these things. And I reminded a family of that yesterday. I'll refer back to that in a moment. That what they're going through, it's not just their family going through it. No, they're going through it, their family, but God's walking right along with them. And oh, when that registers, see, if you're not going through something, that sounds, you know, like a nice thing to say, and it is. But if you're really going through something and you realize that what you're going through, you're not going through by yourself, you're walking with God. And that's, to me, when I see that little phrase, oh, I love that little phrase, Enoch walked with God. He was making progress. And each day he was closer to God. That's how you want to be and how I want to be. And I don't walk through life myself. Now, the second reason I think Enoch is mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 11 is very simple. That he pleased God. Now, think with me a moment. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we are to please people. Sometimes that's hard to do. Well, now, we want to please people. We want to be at peace with people. The Bible says as much as depend on us. But the Bible never says, now look, as a believer, what you need to do is understand you must live the rest of your life pleasing people. It's hard to do. I think I could almost say it's impossible to do, because there's some weird people out there. Don't you know some of them? Yeah, they are. None of us are weird, but those people out there are weird. But here's the deal. We are told to please God. Now, here's the good news. That's something we can all do. You say, now, how in the world can we all please God? Well, the way you please God is by faith. You may not want to shoot back over to Hebrews chapter 11, but a moment ago I read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. The very next verse, verse 6, says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So here's something that always encourages me is that, now, sure, I want to please people. I don't want to go around displeasing people, nor do you. But I've lived life long enough to know I'm not going to please everybody, nor will you please everybody. Okay, but here's what we can do. We can please God. All of us in this room can please God. You say, how? By our faith. Every time as you walk through life, whatever you walk through life, you just keep right on walking. You don't stop. You remember you're walking. God's walking with you. And here comes this and here comes that. Okay, when you keep the faith, you say, well, I don't know how this is going to work out. Many times we don't, but we just keep the faith. We believe this is God's word. What God says will be. We trust God with that, whether we see it or understand it or whatever. Then nonetheless, we can all please God. Now, walking with God, here's a good thing about this. It ends well. Boy, it ended well with old Enoch, the son of Jared. He went to heaven without ever experiencing what we call human death. The only other person in the Bible to do that, you know, is Elijah. Those are the two men the Bible say tells us that never died. They just went from here to heaven. So, you know, hope they didn't buy a pre-need. If they did, they didn't need it. They just went on to heaven. Well, here's the good news. You know, if we will spend our life walking with God, now listen to me carefully, we'll never die. You say, now wait a minute. We going up in a whirlwind? Is God just going to take us like he did Enoch? Well, no, I don't know how God will do it, but here's what I do know. If we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus and we go through life keeping the faith, trying to the best we can live as God tells us, but yet not how we live, but we're made righteous in his righteousness. We've put our faith in his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. The fact is, we won't ever die. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about what Jesus said in the Gospel of John in chapter 11 in verse 26. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Folks, hear me. You, if you're a believer, your body will die. Now, Jesus may come first. You may be caught in the rapture. You say, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, that's okay. When we get to heaven, I'm going to say, I told you so. It's in the Bible, you know. Are you okay up here? Are you so unhappy you were wrong? You want to go back? And he said, no, I'll just stay on here. Well, however all that works out. The point is this. This is a good point. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, you say, well, what about all these people that die? People don't die, bodies die. Serious. Boy, that's important. I mean, it's real. I was down in MD Anderson yesterday, had a most wonderful experience. And I was visiting one of our fine families, and they are, a member of the family is about to die. That's just the bottom line. And the member of the family knows they're about to die. I mean, they may have already, at least their body. But be that as it may, I got in the room where they were, and the nurse let me come in, and my member was conscious enough to know that I was there. They knew who I was, and we had not been strong enough to have much conversation, but I'm saying they were aware. And I was able to say to that person, now listen to me. I mean, they know they're dying physically. So, I mean, the family knows it. So, okay. I said, you know the situation. And that sweet one said yes. And I said, now let me say this to you. Now listen to me. Your body is going to die. And so will mine one day too. But right now it's you. But here's the good news. You're not going to die. She smiled. I said, remember, you live inside of the body. And Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so, hey, in God's timing, you're going to slip out of this body. And your soul is going to go be with the Lord. And what we need to do now is pray for peace and calmness, and we did. And you could just feel, it was just the most amazing feeling, the presence of God in just such a beautiful way. And what made that so special was the sweet member I was talking to has, they've lived their life walking with God, just making, not perfect, none of us are that. But boy, I'm going to tell you, out on the end, it sure is good to know how it's going to be. Could I have an amen to that? And I just want to encourage you today. Look, you know, I hope all of us have a long time yet to go. But here's the point. Whatever we have left to go out there, every day we need to say, I want to be Enoch number two. I just want to start in today. I want to just keep walking every day, walking with God, realizing whatever I journey through, I don't do it alone. God is with me. I want to keep making progress. I want to be closer to God tomorrow than I am even today. You say, well, how will I know if I'm closer to God tomorrow than today? I'll tell you how. You'll know Him better and you'll love Him more. Father, it's that way in all relationships. The better we know someone, the more we'll love them. That's so true. And it's so extra true when it comes to you. God, thank you for the story of Enoch. Thank you for Hebrews chapter 11. And thank you for his wonderful testimony that he pleased God. Now, Lord, I pray with the sincerity of my heart for all of us at this point. Help us live our life pleasing you by faith, trusting you in the hard times, and just knowing that out there in your timing, in your way, the end of the journey, it's going to be great. How we get to heaven, maybe in a whirlwind, maybe you just take us, maybe we go the way of mankind. But thank you, God. One day we'll find out walking with God day by day here on the earth sure does work out good out in eternity. God bless every person in this room today. Every need. God, there are a lot of needs in this room. I see some of them. Many I don't know, but you know. But God, I thank you that your grace is sufficient. And I pray today that a special peace would be for those who need that. In Jesus' name, amen.